Good morning. This is Kevin Murphy, star of Mystery Science Theater and Riftix, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future. How'd I do?
You got the part.
All right.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for August 22nd, 2023. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Chip, the weather in Chicago this week is in the mid-90s. Welcome back, summer, the end of August 2023.
79 here, Steve. 79 in Raleigh. Almost perfect weather. We did have rainstorms this week, and a rainstorm in Raleigh would be like a big snowstorm in Chicago. It, there's thunder, there's lightning, and more rain than it would probably be a foot of snow if it was snow.
Eat so, thunder and crap lightning. We're gonna get right into Rocky.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Chip, you went to the theater and saw the latest raunchy comedy, Strays.
I got to see this at the Alamo Drafthouse, Steve. You know, the non-sponsor of our
Welcome to
recording.
Too Much Scrolling, not sponsored by Alamo Drafthouse. This week at Alamo Drafthouse, go see Strays.
It was a preview showing of this movie in the evening, and it was packed. I don't think there was an empty seat that was there.
I would say that there is some anticipation for this comedy. The voice work of so many celebrities for this silly, raunchy dog movie is something.
That's exactly what you need to know about it. It is silly and it is raunchy. It's got great voice actors. Will Ferrell and Jamie Foxx certainly are starring in this. If you watch the trailer, you pretty much have the movie.
I was going to ask you that.
So I was going to say, maybe you don't want to watch the trailer if you want to go to it. Let me describe the people sitting next to me. I had a couple that sat next to me. They laughed the entire time. They laughed out loud. And then there was a group that was beside me of five or six people, husbands and wives and friends, boyfriends and girlfriends or whatever. They went as a group. Once again, laugh out loud type of stuff. It's kind of a shock humor, as you can expect. A lot of tasteless jokes is what I would say. So Will Ferrell, Jamie Foxx, Isla Fisher, Randall Park are our leads on it. And Will Forte is the dog owner who, if you can imagine anything to humiliate a dog owner who is an abusive dog owner, Will Forte went through. So, you know, just put it in your head. Yes, he is willing to subject himself to whatever he needs to. Josh Gad does show up in this. He is a narrator dog. It is pretty funny. He narrates and everybody just laughs. I'm like, what are you doing? Nobody's listening to this. They go on a quest. The quest is the dog is abandoned in the city. They're returning to the owner. And they want to pull off his privates. And that is the quest. And if you that somehow interests you, then you can go and you can laugh with many, many people. I was on the fence of whether, you know, it was funny or not. That certainly the voice actors make many scenes funny. But 55 out of 100 for me. I do think that Jamie Foxx and Will Ferrell, as they get older, are going to find lots and lots of voice work. Their time on Saturday Night Live and in Living Color, I mean, it's just going to serve them well. And in fact, I would say that for many of those actors.
You've got so many great improv actors in there. You mentioned Will Forte, who was a groundling and then went on to Saturday Night Live. Those guys have some skills. And I even though this is a raunchy comedy for a very specific group, I like the idea that a group of people went to go see this movie and they enjoyed this more than you. I think that that's a part of the process is seeing these movies with your friends.
I think this is a group comedy. I don't know if you sat down by yourself, you would find it as funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are plenty of raunchy comedies that come out. Joyride came out earlier this year. Same sort of situation. If you're on the ride, you will continue to be shocked and have fun. If you're not, then you're just kind of like, wow, I can't believe they did that and they recorded it.
The group of people that I hang out with, we went to go see Riff Tracks this week. They did a live presentation of the 1986 classic Rad.
You used the word classic, Steve. Like, somehow I should remember this film.
You don't remember 1986 Rad? This is the definitive BMX movie, Chip. Don't you remember the BMX trend of 1986? Maybe like 3 months where we all were like, oh, BMX, we're going to ride our bikes and we're going to make money.
Well, there is a group of people. In fact, there is a person in Greenville, North Carolina, who is one of the... I don't know, maybe the greatest BMX rider in the world.
Wow.
At one time. I know, Steve. I know, in my little area, not too far away. But my point being is, who doesn't want to watch the Rocky IV of BMX movies?
This is so Rocky. This is so Rocky. How Rocky is it? This is so Rocky that Talia Shire plays the mom of the kid who wants to win the BMX race in this movie.
She wants to hold him back, Steve. She wants to hold him back.
One of the jokes in the riff was, that's Talia Shire. She's a Coppola. She was in The Godfather. What is she doing in this movie?
Collecting a paycheck, Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, you know, one of the things that really defines the movies of the 80s is sponsorship.
Yeah, Rad has sponsorships like crazy. This movie brought to you by 7-Eleven and Kix cereal. There are at least 4, if not 7, references to 7-Eleven and Kix cereal in this 1986 movie.
Hey, before you guys leave this morning, make sure you have your breakfast. Mom, do you have any Kix?
let's stop by 7-Eleven and get some Kix. Oh, there was also a reference to Visa at one point. And I don't know if it was a real sponsor or if that was just a sign on a window. But the riff was, hey, I feel like I need to go use my Visa card at the 7-Eleven to buy some Kix right now.
Do you remember what Visa's original name was?
No, Chip. What was Visa's original name?
It was Bank AmeriCard. No kidding. And so in this period of time, probably right around this time, that's where the name changed.
It's everywhere. How about you want to be. Bank AmeriCard. Doesn't roll off the tongue. This movie features Lori Loughlin, TV's Aunt Becky from Full House, also known for some activity since then. And some of the best riffs in this movie, Lori Loughlin talking about how to get into college in Rad 1986 is just hilarious in the context of 2023.
How do you get into college?
Well, you don't have to worry about your SATs, first of all.
You don't. I mean, in many schools now. That was abandoned during COVID, Steve.
There's a moment in this movie where Lori Loughlin is giving advice to this kid who's supposed to be taking his SATs, but skips his SATs to go to this BMX race. Of course he does. And Lori Loughlin, of all people, says, nah, you don't worry about your SATs. And the riff, of course, is, I can get you into college without good SAT scores.
Well, a little money goes a long way until you get caught, Steve.
That was quite possibly the highlight of this movie, was all of the Lori Loughlin stuff. Ray Walston, my favorite Martian, is featured in this movie, a very old Ray Walston in 1986. And there's quite a few references to My Favorite Martian from the 1960s. No joke about his work on Star Trek, though. That is one miss on this riff, is I would love to hear a Boothby joke. Bill Allen, the star of this movie, was actually in the theater in Nashville watching them riff his work. And I felt really bad for him at one point, like, oh, they are going to mock this man. And I really think that the boys from Riff Tracks knew that their audience included the star of the movie. And I think they really pulled some of their punches. They did not make fun of that actor in this riff.
Do you think that it would be to hurt their feelings? I mean, what I mean by that is, come on, you can look back at this movie and you can see what it was. It certainly didn't hit its mark. It's certainly a period piece. And the only thing seems to be missing is, Steve, is there's a community center that just wasn't saved here.
It is so 1980s. That is the only part that's missing. To answer your question, the Riff Tracks guys and the Mystery Science Theater guys are definitely not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. That is a statement of intent of all of the riffs. We, the community of people that love watching movies together, love giving honor to these movies, even the crummy movies, we are not trying to be negative. We're not trying to be hurtful. And that's a big part of what we do.
I'm surprised Bill Allen, did he have anything to say out there? Because he could say, he goes, listen, we could all get rad. Let's go get our BMX. In fact, he could have shown up.
He did.
Sat in his chair with a BMX. Rode out on stage.
He was riding his BMX bike outside where the line was, where all of our friends were lining up to get into the theater. Going off his tricks. He sat through the movie. He started a standing ovation at the end of this riff. He enjoyed the experience of being a part of this community. There's so many directors and actors who have come to Riff Tracks and experienced the joy that we have watching these movies.
Listen, that's the fun of a movie that if it hit, mm-hmm. it certainly could be of its time and be really, really big. You mm-hmm. know, it's kind of like Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice was certainly of its moment. Yeah, and MC Hammer, they were of their moment.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and then they went through their, you know, the downward trajectory where we are like, they're very passe. That's what trends end up happening. And now they're kind of beloved. Because, you know, if MC Hammer showed up somewhere or Vanilla Ice showed up somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, you could have those crazy pants or that crazy jacket or crazy haircut. And they would, you know.
Go, ninja, go.
They would be very playful with it versus, you know, maybe 10, 20 years ago, they would be very defensive with it.
Correct. The change in maturity of who those people are is they are able to look back on something like this. I think Bill Allen had a great time with this. This was directed by Hal Needham, the director of Smokey the Bandit from 1977, Cannonball Run 1981. How could you go wrong? The BMX, the kids, the racetrack, the hell track is the name of the racetrack, and the ass sliding. How could you go wrong? Go see Rad. It's rad.
And the music is out of this world.
Oh, the music. Oh, can we even talk about the music? There is one good song in this movie. All of the rest of this music is just not music. It is crummy replacement movie music. There's one song. And yes, the riff on that song is, well, we paid for this one song. We are going to play every note of this song.
Steve, Rad seems very similar to Zac Efron's work with Kodiak, the Keep It Wild ad that just came out maybe a week ago, where I don't know, it was totally 80s, Steve, with totally 80s music.
And Gen X is definitely in charge of advertising in some ways, and we can look back on joy of the 80s and add Zac Efron, the joy of the 90s, and have something special.
And a reminder to grow a mustache, Steve. A reminder to grow a mustache.
Oh, the mustaches in this movie. Oh, the mustaches. Let me tell you, there were a lot of 1986 mustaches in Rad.
Book it.
Brings us to our book of the week. You have been reading Generations, The Real Differences Between Gen Z, Millennials, Gen X, Boomers, and Silence, and What They Mean for America's Future. This was published in 2023 by Gene Twenge.
Yeah, Gene Twenge is a professor at San Diego State University, and she has written a number of books, one called iGen, which I currently am reading, that have to do with how generations are different, basically how we define those generations and what makes a generation In fact, that's one of the first questions that gets discussed is what makes one generation versus another generation? Why is the silent generation, by the way, Joe Biden is the only president and the first president to be from the silent generation. Mm. They had tried multiple times and not had a president. And they finally got one. Once again, look at his age.
Mm-hmm. Silent generation runs from 1925 to 1945.
Correct. And, you know, we have baby boomers. We have Gen X, which we are part of. We're definitely for it because we're angry about it.
They forgot my 16th birthday.
And all we want to do is just kind of like, if everybody could just chill around us and not to make too much of a fuss. I've got some Nirvana tickets. We'll play some music.
And I need to go to the BMX rally.
Exactly. We have millennials, which a lot of people confuse with the next generation, which is our children, Gen Z.
Right.
Gen Z and millennials are different. And mm-hmm. then we have the current generation of young people that, you know, they're not going to remember COVID. And they're going to be called either alphas or something else.
Right.
So, and she uses a different term in this book. But this is talking a little bit about how these generations are separated and what makes them separate from the next generation. Ultimately, it comes down to technology. Technology mm-hmm. was released very slowly earlier in the world's history. And there wasn't a lot to separate one generation from another. But technology, as it's released, we've gone from large generations, the silents, baby boomers. And then we have, you know, our generation, which is one of the smaller ones, and millennials. And then Gen Z, once again, we can define those by how technology was released. So Gen Z or iGens, you know, the smartphone is probably the defining factor, and the adoption of it is the fast adoption in history, where we got over 50%, many of them young people. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about this generation, because this generation is our kids and someone that we really, you know, we care quite a bit about. They're a very special generation. They certainly are creating a lot of nuisances right now, but that's because they have very, very strong ideals. Mm-hmm. And they are going to change the workplace as radically as baby boomers changed the workplace. And you're seeing it right now where people are using different pronouns. They're insisting on if information is going to be released as bad information, they want to be warned about it. Like, hey, listen, there could be some bad information coming. Some people could be upset about it. And that's okay. So once again, how you release information in the workplace or in the school or any type of place, while things may not be called safe spaces, they're going to require those types of places in the workplace mm-hmm. where they can kind of retreat and kind of put together their emotions. They're very open to talking about their mental health. And part of the reason is this generation also has, they talk about mental health because this generation has an increased amount of suicides. And while at the time that her first book was written, there wasn't, there was speculation, as in there was things pointing to smartphones. It's been confirmed because pretty much every place that it's been introduced, it's just created for this generation, maybe some unrealistic situations. Hmm. Imagine comparing yourself to every kid that goes to Hawaii for vacations, or every kid that gets, you know, their number one in their high school class, and they all go to Harvard, they all get, you know, 4.0 grades, and they're all going to be president of the United States. You know, it just is unrealistic to live our life. And that may be something that that we come to terms with, that the average life is really historically way above average. So, you know, it's just maybe unrealistic expectations, unrealistic beauty, unrealistic living styles. This is a unique group. I think that young people, particularly Gen Z and millennials, would really benefit from reading about this to learn a little bit about baby boomers and Gen X, mm-hmm. because I think they really underestimate this group. By the way, I'm going to go back to Gen Z real quick and millennials. What we found in her book is that they do have more conservatives than we think they do, but they get more radicalized. So, but when both on the left and the right, they're more extreme. So it's really interesting, this group. And part of it is who was in charge when they were that group, that age of being young. So for our generation, Steve, I would say, who do you remember? Ronald Reagan as being your president?
Absolutely. Ronald Reagan is the person that I think of as the president when I think of my youth.
Yeah. So he was. He was there for 8 years, the great communicator, any number of things. Gen X is much more conservative than many other generations. But don't you think about it? Barack Obama, for many of these young people, certainly had a big impact on Gen Z because that was their formative years. Anyway, I found this book incredibly insightful. I would love to talk to her. And in fact, there's just a tremendous amount of wisdom to glean from this. In fact, I understand better how to work with the silent generation, the things that were important to them. You can certainly, reading this book, understand how boomers just don't understand millennials and Gen Z. They just don't. And millennials have finally got, because they're starting to move into leadership roles.
Right.
They finally get to understand they're not the youngest group out there right now. And Gen Z has their own sets of demands. Gen Z is going to transform or how we're going to do things. They just very vocal about what they want and what's acceptable. So what passed through and, you know, was improving, but certainly may not have been addressed to their satisfaction is going to be addressed very quickly as they get leadership roles.
Yeah. Something that Gen X doesn't have.
Well, we just were small, Steve. Yeah. We were very small.
Yeah.
And for Gen Zs, I mean, they grew up with technology part of their life. They organize through social media. That's the reason why they show up at places in bulk, because they're just very quick to kind of talk it out and get what they need to get done. Yeah. In fact, it's going to change how we're going to communicate. They're going to demand that, you know, there's going to be, they may not work at work all the time. In fact, that's the future work gets talked about in here too, where those hours commuting downtown Chicago, those, you know, that hour to get to work and back. No. That's gone. That's gone. There may be times that that happens, but I see what the challenge of the military is now. Because if you are recruiting, and recruiting's down, they're really struggling right now to find people, is you've got to bring people in and use, you know, at the hierarchy of how it works, it's not about discussing things. It's about like, hey, our superior has said this is our objective. We need to go. There's not really a discussion of whether this is right or wrong in that type of situation. And there can't be, because it could put the whole mission at risk. But that's not going to be the way in the business world. There's going to be a lot more of, in fact, let me address the Disney situation real quick. Bob Chapek was the president of Disney. And what was going on in Florida was ultimately the don't say gay bill, which was something about don't introduce sex to kindergarten to third graders. And Chapek was initially saying, hey, I'm not going to get involved in this. Okay. But Pixar, you know, that's San Francisco, and other parts of Disney, even Disney in Florida, the young workers were like, oh, no, you have to say something. You have to be involved in this.
You have to take a
stand. Chapek had to get involved in it. Well, ultimately, it cost him his job. And it created all sorts of challenges for the company. So young people are forcing their companies to get involved in situations where previous generations would have created a line in between it. And this is this balancing until Gen Z gets of majority big enough where they can take those leadership roles. We're going to be dealing with this I mean, and basically until the boomers are gone, because boomers are going to say, I don't understand,
mm-hmm.
where Gen Z is going like, oh, yes, you would get involved.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is going to create all sorts of unique situations. I recommend this book very, very highly. If you want to understand how to communicate with different people and understanding how they're going to communicate, this is a great, great book at taking a lot of data, trying to create a true message that you can gulp down and becomes useful. Highly recommended.
We talk about generations all the time. We talk about how different the cultural zeitgeist is from one group of people to the next. The things that have changed in our generation, in our lifetime, and how our kids react differently from our parents. That cultural identity can be identified. Those generations are important. The Zoomers, the Generation Z, their cultural identity might be a little bit murkier. I've seen like micro generations amongst my students that their formative years were changed by the events of those times. We've talked a lot about how those formative years from age 10 to age 15, that's where you really get into the culture of your group, and who you are as an adult is mostly formed in that time.
She does address the sort of micro generations within. Technology, ultimately, though, is defining these. And mm-hmm. Gen Z is going to be a very small generation. We're talking about 95 to 2012. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because that's the technology changed.
The acceleration of technology.
So as a person, as they age, it is so important, as we use Facebook and Twitter, to make sure that we move with those younger generations so that you don't age yourself out real quick. Mm-hmm. Because Gen X, that's one of the criticisms of our generation, has aged very, very fast because many people have refused to move to those newer technologies.
TikTok.
It's going to be important to move with the younger groups in order to remain relevant, because you're going to be a dinosaur and not meaning it. And you can look at older generations as the ones that are adopting current technology versus ones that are really struggling. And they're just, it's like they're not involved. They just don't understand. That should scare us with many mm-hmm. of the leaders in our government, because many of those are silenced and older boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And
changing.
We don't live in those worlds anymore.
Yep.
Very, very interesting. I, once again, highly recommended.
I think I am going to pick up this book. This sounds like a book that I would be very interested in reading. I think a lot of our listeners would love this one. That's Generations, the Real Difference Between Gen Z, Millennials, Gen X, Boomers, and Silence, and What They Mean for America's Future, 2023, published by Gene Twenge.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. What have you been up to this week, Chip?
Well, Steve, I traveled, and it's important to travel. I went up to Washington, D.C. area, and I went to CapliCon, which is Professor Brian Kaplan. He has a gaming event that happens at George Mason University on the campus. You basically go to the offices, and they've got tables kind of lined up everywhere. Food is kind of brought in by Brian Kaplan, and you get to interact with a bunch of professors, a bunch of really, really smart students, and a lot of people who just come back because, one, Brian Kaplan is just the person we all want to be. So I'm going to give you a couple things that we should think about. One is, we all want to be like Brian Kaplan, and how can you do that? Well, one, every time you go somewhere, just announce it. I'm going to be in Chicago. Okay. Who wants to have dinner? Who wants to have a beer? Who wants to get together? That openness to embracing the world makes the world exciting. So what do I get out of this? Well, I go up to Capricorn. I don't know anybody there, but all of a sudden I create all these connections. I talked to a person who just finished their dissertation, who's a PhD now. He got to tell me all about his research and the things that he's working on. And what, you know, he's trying to find a professorship somewhere. He wants to be a tenured professor. His work was incredibly fascinating and certainly worthy of study, and a great example of why we need to divide the teaching. I'm going to say the teaching. These people can be teachers from their research, because their research may not be something that everybody, when I say approves of, it's not anything immoral, but my point being is when you're teaching a subject and what you're researching, these are two different skills. They have them both. You need to become a well-rounded student from a well-rounded professor. But once again, they end up studying whatever wacky, fun stuff that they get to do. The other thing is I talked to a young man who was writing a book, a big book. And he's like, yeah, I don't know how I'm going to get it published. Blah, blah. Steve, how many authors have we talked about? Inkshares and Pamela Bedore.
All of the different methods of publishing in 2023. Authors bring that up to us so often. There's so many opportunities.
So we end up having this wonderful knowledge of how people get things done, how they, you know, Tal Klein gets his book published and ultimately optioned off, not because we did it. It's just because we get to talk to them and they get to say, oh, yeah, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And so how cool is that? But anyway, I had this great conversation with, I want to say, probably a 24, 25-year-old. And then just the brilliant, fun games. I played Nuclear Risk. Are you familiar with Risk?
I do know Risk, yes. Tell me about Nuclear Risk.
So Risk can take a long time to play. Uh-huh. And so we all sat down and the guy goes, listen, a person here only has an hour to play a game. This should last 45 minutes. So what you end up doing is you play the game of Risk, but you know, you can drop nuclear bombs around everywhere and it takes away continents. And anyway, the game gets very short at that point and the strategies play. Anyway,
and then Oppenheimer is completely beside himself by the end of the movie.
It's not a movie, Steve. It's a game. But anyway, you end up playing games and you learn how to play within the constraints of the time. I got to play a number of other ones. Secret Hitler is one that seems to be very fun. Have you played that game?
I believe that we discussed this one when we were talking about all of the games that we played a few years back with the hidden werewolf. This is the Secret Hitler instead of the Secret Werewolf.
Well, yeah, Werewolf is a game that's similar. Mm-hmm. But what was really interesting is it forces conversations and it forces deception. The idea is there is a person who's the bad guy, obviously Hitler, with his group of people trying to get into power. And then there's the other group, the liberals, who are basically trying to prevent that from happening.
Antifa.
And anyway, you have to work among the team, the entire group. You've got to convince people, these are the bad guys, I'm the good guy, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, there's some chance involved, there's strategy involved. I'm sure if you play it four or five times in a row, you start getting patterns going on. What an incredibly fun game to force interaction.
Sociology, the study of people and how we interact, is so fascinating to me. And games like that lead us to thinking about how people think. I love that.
Well, it's not just thinking. You've got to verbalize. Mm-hmm. And imagine being in a place where you've got wallflowers, where people don't verbalize. Mm-hmm. That ability to draw, this is why games playing can be important, is it can force people into, when I say uncomfortable situations, to move beyond the moment, because at some point you've got to make some decisions. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's always fascinating. I got to play a bunch of them. I learned some games. I recommend you have a gaming night at your home or someplace and invite a bunch of people over.
That's great. That's great. There's other things happening in the world. We our hearts go out to the people of Maui, these devastating wildfires, the destruction, the images of the destruction on Maui are just awful. I do not have any specific friends on Maui, but Weird Al Yankovic was on the other side of the island during the fire. So hopefully he is safe. That's my real emphasis on wildfires in Maui. There's a tropical storm warning in California. First ever tropical storm warning in the state of California. Hurricane Hillary is due to make landfall, and we hope that everybody is safe there.
Interesting.
Kids in Montana this week won a lawsuit to force change in the fossil fuel development industry. This is a case that could have legal reverberations for climate litigation. The district court in Montana said that these citizens, these young people, have the right to a clean and healthful environment. This is a case that is going to have repercussions across the country.
I'm guessing this is Gen Z. This is a good example of how Gen Z is going to be using the law and their leadership.
I keep thinking of the book, The Ministry for the Future, and how we make decisions today based on the needs of the people today versus the needs of the people of the future. We discount the people of the future because they're not here. These kids stood up and said, we are here. We want a healthful environment. And this court agreed with them. I look forward to how this is going to change the way we do business.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to, if it's going to be able to hold up.
Absolutely. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. We would love to hear from you. What are you doing? How are you connecting with your community? Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Threads and X.com, Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip. Pass and flow.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about, what I want to thank you for, what I want to.